Hey, you're checking out another episode of the Good Advice Podcast, and we're talking today about something that is such a pain point for a number of business owners simply because they do not understand how to do it right. We're talking about networking today. You know those cringy, awkward events that you might go to week after week? Well, it doesn't have to be that way, and most importantly, it also doesn't have to be a waste of time. Anybody who's anybody in business knows the value of building a meaningful, high-trust network, and we're going to be talking about that today on the show. You're tuning in to the best resource to learn how to grow and scale your business, and the guest we have joining us today is Adam Marks. He's the owner of 0to1networker.com. I'll put the link down in the episode description below. And we're going to be talking about not just how you can build your network, but how you can maximize the opportunities you have when it comes to growing your business. Trust me, when you understand networking from the direction that Adam's talking about, you will learn to love networking. And more importantly, you're going to see a pretty incredible ROI on it. All that and more is on today's show. But before we dive in, a quick word for one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the podcast. Check this out. We'll be right back soon. There's one single piece of advice that I give to business owners who are ready to scale their business drastically, and that's knowing exactly what you need to hand off so that you can continue focusing on what you're an expert in. It amazes me when I talk to business owners who are doing their own bookkeeping and tax prep, and worse, that they're going through all this paperwork at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, even midnight, slaving away trying to make sense of all of the numbers for their business. Business owners who are making it happen have already figured out that you can't do it all yourself. That's why I recommend Steve Lay with Equity Business Solutions. Not only is he an expert in bookkeeping and tax prep, but what I love about Steve is that he'll sit down with you and help you make sense of the value of your business beyond just reading a spreadsheet. You'll be able to make better decisions, and more importantly, you're going to save yourself the crucial time you would have spent going through QuickBooks or an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it is that keeps us up late at night. So save yourself some time and some money by giving Steve Lay a call at Equity Business Solutions, and he'll show you the value beyond your numbers. Go to EquityBusinessSolutionsLLC.com to find out more. All right, Adam, it's great to have you on the podcast today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
You know, it's the wonders of LinkedIn, right? Like and this is not like a slight to you. Maybe I need higher standards, but my process is like, I see someone on LinkedIn and I'm like, yeah, they don't seem like a serial killer. Let's come on the podcast.
No, I think that's 100% accurate in today's world of social media. It's like, well, okay, you seem okay. You seem pretty normal.
Yeah.
you got to have basic standards, right?
Yeah. Well, so I had come across something you had posted. I think it was like in December or something. And I had DM'd you and was like, and I was one of like the rare people who actually DMs people and doesn't have anything to sell them. You know, I'm just like, hi, I'm me. So I DM'd you and been like, yeah, you know, if you want to come on the podcast, you know, feel free. So I appreciate you taking me up on it and joining me on the show today.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, you know, your strategy of commenting and just saying, hey, I run this show, if I'd love to have you on, but we'll probably get into it. That's like one of the best networking strategies out there. You know, you say that like you don't have anything to sell. So many people who do have things to sell, like, would benefit from kind of what I call like a lukewarm approach, as opposed to like a cold emailing approach. Because what you're doing is like you're prepping the ground for like, let's have a conversation and see what rolls out of it.
Yeah. And you know, my whole process of sales has always been just like, let's just build a relationship. And if there's merit there for us to work together, it'll just rise to the top. Like, I've never really felt like I've had to force anything. And, but it is funny, and we'll get into your background and I want to know more about like your history, but it is funny, like when you start talking about like effective networking, how some people just cannot separate it from the sale. Like, they can't help but think of it as a means of selling. And, I mean, I see you like rubbing your face. I mean,
I wish your listeners could like see me like pulling out my own hair right now, because that is so much a part of a core part of my content, and something that I've actually been focusing on very recently, over specifically over the last 12 months. And we'll get into the details therein, yeah. But you really, really hit the mark there. And I really want to unpack it appropriately.
Let's go there. Well, first of all, just to give you, the listeners, they've heard the intro. They know a little bit about you. Let's get like the scoop from your mouth on who are you, what you do. And then I want to dive into that specific point.
Well, okay. So for listeners who don't know me or don't know me yet, my name is Adam Marks. I'm known as the guy with the orange sunglasses, 0 to 1 networker. I'm here in Atlanta. And I specialize in teaching people, whether they're startups or individuals or larger enterprise companies, how to build introductions, build access, and then scale and maintain networks and relationships over time. And so
it's like social capital. Is that a phrase
that's
that you
a
use?
Big, oh yeah. Well, yeah. Actually I have a big part of, I'm writing a book currently. And so there's a whole chapter that's about discerning between social capital and what I call social debt. And social debt is this mindset of, oh, I've done something nice for you, positive for you. So maybe I shared your post or I shared your podcast link. And now suddenly in my mind, you owe me something.
Mm.
Right. And so that kind of social debt mentality it's just a non-starter. It doesn't build relationships. It doesn't incentivize collaboration. Really what it does is it puts up walls around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole big part of my book. There's also a part of my writing that's based around this concept. I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners who are familiar with basic concepts of economics have heard, economies of scale. How do you produce that really cheap plastic cup at a price point so that you can actually make money on that product, right? And you have to be selling a ton of them. And so I work around what I call a concept of networks of scale. So you take a concept of building relationships and building networks, and at some point you have built your network big enough and broadly enough where the networks is doing work for you while you're not leaning forward doing the work, because at the end of the day, we're all people, right? You can't be doing this stuff, every single minute of every day. It's not realistic. It's not healthy. And so creating this kind of networks of scale principle dynamic, it's like it builds on top of itself, it compounds over time. So that's kind of a little broad overview. I mean, I've done journalism. I was in the music industry for over a decade. That's kind of where I learned how to build relationships. So
isn't it so funny that this is just such like a, I don't mean this in a condescending way. This is such a valuable insight, like understanding the nature of like relationship building. And I love how you even talked about like getting that point of momentum where like the network works for you. Because I've even seen that on the podcast where, I feel like for years I've been screaming about this podcast. We're like, okay, yeah, you got a podcast. I get it. And then now I'm in this weird position where I meet someone. They're like, yeah, you have the podcast. This is all local people. Nobody beyond local knows who I am.
I totally get it.
But like
totally
you run into something, they're like, hey, I listened to your podcast, or someone told me about your podcast. And you're like, this is kind of weird. But point being though, it's so funny how this is so intuitive and yet so many people don't approach business this way. They don't have like either that intentionality or they don't understand the mechanism of like, what does it really mean to build a network?
I spend so much of my time, probably too much of my time, thinking about that. Because it really, I spend such a core portion of my time helping people differentiate between networks, relationship building, and sales and marketing. Because oftentimes it all kind of gets mushed together.
Yeah.
And sales and marketing, absolutely crucial for your business. I mean, I'm around startups every day. I advise startups, I mentor startups. So that's not an argument, right? But the really best salespeople understand two things. they understand that sales and marketing inherently is transactional. And I don't mean that as a dig. I mean that, like, you got to have money coming in the door
right.
so you can run your company. So they recognize it's inherently transactional in its nature. And then they also understand when to turn the selling off and just talk to someone.
Because have a real conversation.
The point of networking. What a wild concept. I know, it's shocking. What I tell people when I go and give talks or, you know, speak to cohorts or whatever, the point of networking is not to get the sale done. It's not to close the deal. The point of networking is to get to the next conversation.
But here's
that next conversation may close that.
Here's what's so interesting though, because I if you look at like my really early content, I basically like dunked on networking endlessly because I was a new business owner and I was really frustrated because like I would go to these, I'm a new business owner. I went from like working in an office with a bunch of people to now it's just me in my own home office. It's like, what do I do all day?
Yeah.
So I'm going to these events. I'm trying to meet other business owners. And I remember I was so thrown off by how like sell crazy these networking events were. In fact, I remember I went to one event, I walked in this, in the door, this dude made eye contact with me and I was like, oh, a friend. Great. I'm so lonely. Come talk to me. This person, this person comes up to me, does not say a word, hands me their business card and then walks away. And I just thought like, this is so transactional for this person. But I think you're right that like a lot of people see networking as it's a sales event. And I think you make a really great distinction of understanding it's like the first touch point of the relationship that then ideally leads to the next conversation. So I'm with you for sure.
I mean, the thing about networking is, first of all, that I am a networker. That's what I do. It's what I specialize in. I go to a ton of networking events to varying degrees. And, you know, I'll do a shameless plug here. I'm actually going to go out to South by Southwest in like a week or two and mentor for their startup track on networking and and accessibility. But what I will say is that dude, I think networking events suck. Me personally, like generally speaking, like I absolutely detest icebreakers. I hate round robin. It just doesn't work for me. I have social anxiety, okay, to a certain extent. And so I am never that person, almost never, at the event, like in the center of the room with like 40 people around me. Like I'm usually like off to the side with a coffee, with a soda, just kind of like assessing the landscape. And so, you know, you hit on a couple of really important things. First is there isn't one right way to network. There's just a whole lot of wrong ways to network. And so people can find what works for them. It's like going to the gym, right? You don't wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to try to lose 40 pounds because I have that wedding in 2 weeks and I want to look great for that. Okay. It's not really realistic. It's not really successful. It's not really healthy. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't sound healthy to me. Right. What you do is you change that statement of I want to lose this weight really quickly for this event. And you change it to something that's much more long term and much easier to maintain. So you say, I want to get healthier. So what do I have to do to get healthier? I have to drink water. I got to change my eating habits. I got to do some exercise. I have to work on mental health. And I'm going to do that over a long period of time. I'm going to adopt these habits and make them doable in my day-to-day life so that they're not this huge onus of trying to lose 50 pounds in 2 weeks. You say, okay, what can I do today? I can walk for 15 minutes on the treadmill, and that's what I can do. And you do that for 2 months, maybe. And then you say, I can do 15 minutes on the treadmill and 5 sit-ups, and that's what I can do. And it seems in the moment like it's not enough, right? Because you have this goal of maybe looking a certain way, feeling a certain way. But, you know, networking is like working out. This is a war of attrition. It's a war of attrition between you and your impatience. And the really best networkers outlast their own impatience. And the people who can't do that, those are the people who say, oh, networking doesn't matter. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you're trying to do it on like a 3-week timetable. That's why it doesn't work.
Yeah. And I think I have a guy I work with who he does really well. His business is entirely through networking. But the way he tells his story is that he basically committed himself to doing it for a year. And I mean, he's a 6-figure business now, but he didn't see the fruit of that until about the year mark. Now, hopefully everyone listening, I hope it's faster for you, but I do, I have seen the other end of the spectrum where like, I think BNI is a really good example of this. I don't have anything against BNI. I'm not in a BNI currently, but I remember I was in a BNI briefly for about a year actually. But I remember a woman joined and this lady, it was like week two and she was like, this doesn't work. And I was like, well, it doesn't work because you're in your second week of it. You know, like there's like a timeliness to it where, and I love how you put it, of like that balance between your own impatience with your commitment to doing it. Again, hopefully for everybody listening, it doesn't take a year, but I do think, and here's something I'm curious your perspective. It does feel like on social media, everyone condenses the timeline for their story to the point sometimes of absurdity. Like I saw a guy who was posting the other day who he said, he was like, wow, to think 6 months ago I was serving tables and now I'm a multi-million dollar business. I'm like,
oh, that's so ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'm like, bro, come on. Really?
Dude, I mean, look, I was in music for a while. I was in startups. I'm around startups quite a bit. And this stuff takes time. And that's what I really wish I could underscore for people. That's why it's not sales. Like I understand you have a sales quota, or you have a sales goal, X amount, end of the quarter or by the end of the semester, you know, whatever happens.
Right.
And so like, I get it. So like, if you want to double your sales, you're not hiring me to do that. You're hiring a sales expert to figure out in that constrained 4 to 6 week timeline, how to hopefully double your sales if you can. That's not what I specialize in. What I specialize in is teaching people how to get access to damn near anybody. And when I say anybody, I don't mean anybody in sales and marketing or anybody in a B2B software. I mean anybody. And when I say that, it's because these strategies are industry agnostic. I have used them to build crazy access in the music world, in the film world, in startups, in local leadership and politics, in the literary world, business, finance, and you go right down the list. And so
you'd be really good at 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon is what I'm hearing.
You know what? What I tell people is you never know who somebody knows. I mean, it really is crazy. And so I you know, that's the other thing is like when let's go back to your example of going into that event, right? And doing what I call showering people with business cards. Here's my business card. And you know, you're never going to hear from that person unless either they need your business like very clearly and you're cheaper than someone else, or you're their target ideal customer. If it's not one of those two things, you're never going to hear from that person again. And the interesting thing about it is if you can get yourself away from that and just have a conversation, and it doesn't matter about what. But the best conversations are about like, hey, what's your music taste? Hey, are you, you know, a Braves fan or a Mets fan or whatever? You know, do you have a certain sports team that is someone else, you know, is, you know, your UGA fan or whatever? Or did you have a certain experience at like a festival? Like you just end up talking to people as people. The best networking doesn't happen at those events. It happens like when you go to your buddy's wedding over the weekend. It happens when you like, I don't know, whatever the hell people do over the weekend. They have, some people are in car clubs. Some people are in literary clubs. Like, I don't know. For some reason, people don't see those as like being like networks. Right. Because they don't see it as being business oriented. And it's like, I don't want to bring business into it, you know? And I understand that, but just recognize like those people who show up at the car club or at the book club, like they have jobs too. You know, if you're sitting next to somebody at a wedding and they're a tech person, they may be in the market for a new job for whatever reason. So to just have a conversation and let it organically grow. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I do this. Oh, well, that's kind of cool. You know, then you end up in a situation where the other person can have the on-ramp to say, oh, you know, I'm kind of in the market for that. Is there like a website, a link I can look at, application or something?
I've seen this happen firsthand. I was at a networking event talking to someone about this, and this guy runs a software development company, and he was talking about one of a great customer he had picked up was he went out to a networking event. This guy was kind of in the corner. And so he grabbed a beer and was like standing near this guy, and they started chatting. And then after like half an hour of a conversation, the guy was like, so what do you do? And he's like, oh, I run a software development company. And then the guy was like, well, you seem pretty normal. So I'd be down to like hear more about like, we actually need an app built, and ended up becoming this amazing customer for him. And he just loved telling the story of like, yeah. And then the guy was like, you seem pretty normal. Like, but it's funny because another friend of mine, Brian Sexton, he gave this amazing insight on the podcast of talking about how a lot of the way that a lot of people do business is they make the sale, and then it's like, let me hand you off to the customer specialist, whatever. And they try to maintain the relationship afterwards. It's like, you made the sale, now let's build the relationship so you don't leave me. Whereas people who do business really well, they build the relationship first, and then that leads to the sale. And it's much easier to keep that customer because they already know you, they already trust you. There's already a foundation there.
I mean, that's the reason why what I teach people how to do, why I specify access, because it's about access. When I came into tech and startups, I mean, I knew nobody. To fully illustrate for your audience, like when I say nobody, I mean like, dude, I studied art and history in school. Okay. I didn't know where the computer science building was on my campus. Okay. And so now when I talk to founders, you know, startup founders, part of what really gets their attention is me saying, I knew nobody. Now I don't lose sleep ever at wondering, can I get access to this tech journalist, that venture capitalist, or one just like them, other founders. Okay. I know how to create the access. It's like you wake up and you know how to make your coffee in the morning. I know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And the access creates so many more opportunities than a singular sale, right? Mm-hmm. Because there could be any number of reasons why, like, that deal, whether it's an investment or a business deal, it didn't go through. It could be maybe you don't fit exactly their model, or it's not the right time, or there's like a zillion good reasons, or things like COVID happen.
Yeah.
So when you have access, you always have the ability to go back. You always have the ability. You know, we talk about like a shoot your shot kind of thing. And I understand the premise of get into the conversation, get into the fabric. But like, when you have access and relationships, you never have just one shot. You have 13, 14, 15 ways to go back and say, hey, we improved our product. We listened to our customer base. We pivoted because the market is changing.
Like, how much less stress that way to not have to put everything, you know, I have to either make this deal or I'm out. You know, I mean,
it's crazy. I'll tell two super quick stories, which are super applicable. One in terms of getting opportunities, and one in terms of maintaining opportunities. So, you know, I have a friend of mine. I'm going to keep everything anonymous because I don't want people to knock down their email inboxes. I had a friend of mine a couple of years ago, midway through 2021, maybe. And so she calls me up and she says, hey, your phone's going to ring in like 20 minutes. You want to pick up that phone call. I mean, it was like a mafia movie. Okay. phone rings in like 20 minutes. And the person says, hey, so-and-so said that you are available for this, or might be available, and that it's something that you would love to do, or hopefully love to do. We're looking for the person to do this. And like, is it something you could do for this amount of money during this date, whatever? I mean, really, within 15 minutes, it was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. I can do it for that payment. I can do it for that date.
Yeah.
And all that's left is just like basic detail logistics. And it happened in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was dream crazy. Customer.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, it was crazy. And the other thing that I'll, you know, that's how stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. It just like, it's like, boom, one day just something happens and it materializes. But that's from the outside perspective. because it's not like it just happened.
Yeah,
it's right. It was years of prepping that ground, cultivating that relationship, cultivating that image. So like, you know, if I'm going to use a really terrible sports analogy, when someone catches that pop fly ball, it's not like, oh, they just caught it. It's like they've done the work to be able to do that, to put in the training to do that. They're, you know, they're conditioned to do that. They know how to make that play. They put themselves in the right, you know, a part of the field to do that. So like, there are all these factors that play into it that no one sees, right? So that's the getting something, quote, unquote, getting something for nothing. It's never getting something. The other side of it is I have friends who are involved. You know, I'm involved in a number of organizations here in Atlanta, and I have friends who are involved in certain competition organizations, certain showdowns, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know how it is, there's a competition and maybe someone, the goal is to get like 15 grand or something, which sounds like a lot of money, but for a startup is not a ton.
Right.
So I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, you know, what's one of the weirdest things that you see? And she's like, I don't understand why, like, if we have seven companies or eight companies pitching, like there has to be a winner. Like someone has to win. Okay. And sometimes, not all the time, there are people who like take it really personally, like that they don't win. It's like, it becomes, oh, I'm going to show you and this and that. And I'm like, I don't understand that because you already have won. The money is just gravy on top of everything because you have access, the ability to write an email. They already know who you are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can write that email and say, hey, thanks for letting us, be involved in this competition. We learned a lot. We're really going to work on our product. And if you have some tips, we'd love to hear what they are, but we really just appreciate the opportunity. And dudes, an email like that, not just keeps the door open, but like you're going to get passed around to other people who may have the ability to invest in your company. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so easy to do that. I don't understand why people don't do that.
So I think
we're talking about maintaining relationships.
Yeah. And it's such an appreciation for like the big picture and like understanding the long game. Cause I do think as business owners, we get so hyper focused on the short term, which is, did I make the sale? Did I get the investment? Did I win the bid? What have you, that we lose sight of. It's kind of like, you know, in a more entrepreneurial example, it'd be like someone going on Shark Tank and not getting an offer. Well, it was never about the offer. The offer is, like you said, it's just gravy. The long term is you just got your business highlighted in front of however many million people watch the show, right?
Go ahead. It's that, and it's, I'll use that example. I won't use a Shark Tank example. Although it was interesting, Adventure Atlanta last year, we had Robert Herjavec come and talk, which was kind of cool. He was a lot of fun to listen to. What I will say is when I go into a room at like a conference, okay. So let's say it's in a ballroom of, I don't know, 300-400 people, hypothetically for a conference. Yeah. Okay. And I look at, whoever's the keynote speaker or fireside chat or whatever. If I'm looking at that person and going, oh, I really like their content. I really like their vibe. I really like them as a person. I've already subconsciously for me made the decision. Okay. I'm going to talk to this person. I can find a way to talk to this person. The question becomes, how do I reverse engineer that? Okay. So I'm very likely not going to be standing in line to try to shake their hand. Sometimes I might, depending on the person, but I'm going to be taking pictures, trying to write a post, trying to find their handles so I can tag them, so I can highlight them, because that has more legs long term than, you know, than standing in line, you know, because they're shaking a million hands.
Right.
And like that feels good in the moment. And like maybe you have that picture for social media.
It's like when I ask someone on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like yourself. Yeah. It's like, hey, I like this person, you know, enough to invite them on. Hey, do you want to come on and share your story? And I guess it's different enough than the, you know, generic ChatGPT generated, you know. I love the DMs, by the way, that are like, you know, you're doing amazing work, but there's like no specificity as to like, really, what work am I doing? But
I'm getting so many of those because, like, I'm.
Yeah, it's bad.
What I really want your audience to understand is, like, I'm at a weird point in my relationship building kind of brand, and I was talking about this with I don't know if you've seen Mayan Gordon. Her material is really great. I really enjoy it. She happened to be in town recently, and we had coffee, and she's got a really big footprint on, like, TikTok, like millions of people. And so we were talking about, and she's just fantastic and just really super down to earth. And so we were just talking about.
Don't you, like, love that, by the way, when you have someone?
I love that.
Like, I've had some heavy hitters on the podcast who are exactly how they present themselves to be. And you're just relieved. You're like, okay, this is great. I mean, I read your story though.
No. Well, and we were talking about, like, I'm getting to the point where, like, it's weird when people recognize me. Mm-hmm. It's not weird because, like, I'm clearly trying to get there.
Right.
It's weird because when you're in it, you're always trying to get to that next level. Yeah. Right. And so, and I do try really hard to be, you know, to remember people. I'm typically pretty good with faces, so I feel bad when I'm like, oh, I don't remember exactly who we talk on Instagram or LinkedIn or whatever. But we were having this conversation, and I was like, you know, it's staggering to me how easy it can be to talk to people with these big footprints, these really big brands, because the way to do it is to differentiate yourself from, like, the fanboy mentality, right? You can differentiate yourself by saying, I really enjoyed this article, or I really enjoyed this thing you put out, or this video, I really connected with it. And, you know, like, that's enough. You don't have to pitch that person. You can just say, this specifically meant something to me. And that's why I like your content, because it brings a value add, a positive value.
Yeah, I mean, to my feed. When I first got started on LinkedIn and started the business 5 years ago, I DM'd 200 people on LinkedIn. And for every person, nothing was copy paste. Every DM was an article they wrote that I looked at or some post they made, but it was, hey, I really liked this post and here's why. And that alone set up the early success of my podcast, because then people were like, hey, yeah, what's the podcast? And, you know, and then people were, I didn't even know about asking someone to come on. Someone was like, hey, you want me to come on sometime? And I was like, yeah, come on. You know, so it's funny.
You're planting those seeds.
Right. Yeah.
And you have to wait for them to grow. Right. And I mean, that's the other thing, which kind of connects back to what we were talking about before, about time. Like, this, I'm now getting people who I know, you know, in certain communities reaching out to me proactively saying, would you come on our show or on my show?
Right.
Would you be a featured speaker at this or
right.
that kind of event? And it's flattering. It's also, like, weird for me because I'm like, oh, wow, that's, I have to change how I'm seeing myself and not, like, downplaying it, but just, I'm creating value in a way that's positive. And, you know, I want to stick on the garden metaphor for a minute, because I think it's so important for people to understand. Here's the reason why networking doesn't work for so many people. Because if we think of networking as, like, you know, gardening or a flower or a plant, here's what happens. People, for some reason, live at extremes. The first thing they do, and I'm being overgeneralized here, but they pour a ton of water. Okay. Did you get my email? 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 Okay. So they drown that plant.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what happens is, when they don't get a response, obviously, is they go, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Okay. And then they don't water it.
Yeah.
So then they run to the other end of the spectrum, and they shoot themselves in the foot there. The hardest thing to do is to sit in the middle in a balanced way and say, it's fine. Okay. And, you know, I really want people to understand that, because this is, I tell people 10 months, not 2 weeks, 10 months to gain a relationship and a dialogue and a rapport with someone. And yeah, it is going to feel like it is not working, like it's not moving, like it's a waste of your time, all those things. I've felt them. I feel them many, many days. And then one day it's like looking for the bounces and, oh, wow, that just came in the door. Wow, that email just happened. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it happens unexpectedly.
Yeah. But you laid the groundwork 10 months ago and you nurtured it and watered it. And I would even say there's an interesting nuance between not, you balanced it, you watered it with the expectation it could lead to something, but you don't do it for solely what you'll get out of it. I think that's kind of the social debt that you're, and I don't know if I'm using that correctly or not, but you know, you build these relationships not for the sense of like, well, what are you going to do for me if I spend time with you, which is very, you know, centrally
very
focused.
Transactional. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, I mean, you definitely are using it correctly the way I use it, because, you know, we've all heard the have an ask, always have an ask, which is, I believe, an oversimplification. When I hear that, I think of it as always have a reason for the dialogue, right? But it doesn't have to be an ask, let's do business, because that's not realistic. An ask, quote, quote, having a reason to have a conversation could be something as simple as, I just like this person's vibe. I like their content. It brings value to my own journey. And like, I think we could get along one day if we're in the same room and the same kind of, you know, alignment. And like, that is fine. That is valid. Mm-hmm. That's why this is about relationship building and not about getting the sales done. It's not about applying your sales funnel to your networking, because you do two things. And this is really important. You constrain yourself to your own silo. You silo yourself away. So like B2B software sales, if someone says, oh, I have a super deep network in tech software sales, my first question to them, you know, is to say, oh, that's great. Who do you know in construction? Who do you know in restaurants? Who do you know in hotel management? Because if you're only selling to the people who are like, quote, quote, in your market, in your vertical, so are all of your competitors also selling to those people. Okay. So that's one thing that it constrains you. And what happens when you, and the second thing that happens when you get constrained is you can't see the other opportunities. You can't see other things that could build you credibility or build your company credibility, even if it's not quote, quote, a deal, a business deal in the kind of traditional sense. And so that's what makes us different than sales and marketing. Sales and marketing, super important. Networking relationships, also super important. It's all equally super important to your company.
I just feel like that's like boiling down our conversation to just that simple understanding that networking, while it's a great partner to sales, it is not sales. Like that in and of itself, I think is just like I think I have a networking event that I run on Tuesday mornings, and I'm already like, hey, everybody needs to just listen to this episode, because this is such a great way. A lot of the people who come to that are doing multiple events in a week. And for people just to grasp that concept that these things are disjointed, although they are symbiotic, they're not the same thing. I think it's just incredible. So, Adam, we're actually out of time. So
yeah, that went too quick.
Yeah, you're like, you know, you were a fantastic guest on the show. For people who are listening, who are like, okay, I want to talk to this guy. I want to talk to this guy and maybe even hire this guy. What's the next best thing for people to do?
Please reach out. I try to read. Every email that comes in the door. They can email me at adam@zerotoonenetworker.com. They can go to zerotoonenetworker.com. They can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. drop me a line. Mention that you came through the podcast. And yeah. I'm always looking for great people to talk to, do business with. Everyone can find me with the orange sunglasses. That's kind of like my accidental branding. So...
Yeah,
reach out. And I'm always looking for like new podcasts or, you know, partnerships. I'm a collaborative person.
Well, Adam, I so appreciate you being willing to take the time and share some good advice on the podcast today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Hey, for our listeners, I'm going to put the link to Adam's website, 01networker.com. That's going to be down in the episode description below. And if you listen to Adam's episode and you're like, hey, I kind of like this guy, and I, more importantly, I like this episode, what the heck are you waiting on? Click the subscribe and follow button so you can keep getting good advice wherever you are. Also, don't forget that you can advertise on the podcast, or you can support the podcast through our Patreon, patreon.com/goodadvice. And for those of you who've been supporting the podcast long term, I so appreciate you. That's today's good advice. We'll catch you later. See ya.